and Smashville, good morning and thank you for joining us. It is Morning Drive off and running on this glorious, glorious Monday. ESPN 102.5, The Game. I'm just going to label it the Tennessee trifecta. You had the Titans, you had the Vols, you had the Preds. Clean sweep for the boys this weekend.
Does that just ignore some of the other football programs in the state
as well? Yes, it does.
So you should refer to it how Ricky and myself referred to it, the Tennessee three-step.
I like it.
Did you come up with that one in the fourth quarter there or the first quarter at Neyland Stadium?
Halftime.
We could call it EBV, everybody but Vandy.
There you go.
That's the truth.
Yeah, it is. A lot of social media evidence of Chase's weekend in Neyland Stadium.
Yes.
That was highly entertaining.
You asked.
Highly entertaining.
I deliver.
The Constable came more to play than Kentucky did.
That's 100% true. The Constable put in a lot more effort than Kentucky did. There's no question about
I
that.
I did.
And you were real, and you were spectacular, and I'm proud of you, sir.
Thank you very much.
I'm just glad that you're here alive and in one piece.
I am too.
So let's get right into it, gentlemen. The highlight of the weekend has to be what transpired yesterday at Nissan Stadium, a beatdown of the New England Patriots by your Tennessee Titans. Dominant victory, start to finish, so much to break down, but let's just get into it right away. Are you believing in this Tennessee Titans team again? Because now they've won two in a row, and they dominated Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
Well, you should have saw this one coming.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
you should have saw this
coming.
I didn't. Coming.
You picked him.
It was just because they have a hard time at beating Dean Pease. For some reason, I don't know what it is. But Dean Pease does an excellent job when playing New England at scheming up something on defense that makes Tom Brady uncomfortable in a pocket where he has to move around more than what he wants to. I've always said in this day and age, you have to get pressure up the middle. Why do you think guys like Aaron Donald is so critical? Why do you think he get paid so much money? Because he gets pushed up the middle. The outside rush is, I'm not saying it's becoming obsolete, but these quarterbacks are so savvy and so smart now that all they do is step up in the pocket and throw the football. Well, you can't step up in the pocket if the pocket is being pushed into you. And the Titans brought pressure from the outside, but Tom steps up, and he steps up into a guy in his face. What does he do now? Can't do anything. Can't see over the pocket. He's maneuvering around. Tom's not quick enough to move. We all understand that. And he takes dives. He's just going to hit the ground. He's older. He's going to hit the ground. He's not going to take the hitter. He's going to throw the ball away.
Even when he's running in the open field with the ball in his hands.
And the Titans consistently did that yesterday. The defense consistently put pressure. And I said, Marcus is going to have a good game. There was no doubt about it, because what they did, what New England does is they allow you to move from the 20 to the 20. Complete pass on the 22 to 20. But then there's this wall they build up in the red zone where it's hard for you to score. Well, the Titans scored yesterday, and New England didn't. So this is not a surprise to me. It looked like a young team beating up on an old team. I'm not saying that I would never say that Tom Brady and New England is done, because we've seen this whole book written before, and Tom ends up in the Super Bowl and winning. But it just looked like a much younger team beating up on a older team that was injured and tired and looking to go into the bye week.
I mean, your original question is, am I buying into what this may mean for the Titans? And I listen, it's a great, great, great victory, and it's a great step in the right direction, two steps in a row, in fact. But you got to just keep doing it. You're still a game back in the division, a division that we all admit probably doesn't have a wild card. You're still right in the thick of a brutal battle the rest of the season to see what happens. And, oh, by the way, now you got to go on the road and face Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson. So, I'm buying it as much as anyone can, but you got to keep proving it. You got to keep showing that consistency. What's really funny is every time I would send out a tweet yesterday, I'm like, oh, Matt LaFleur, brilliant play call. Oh, Mariota, brilliant throw. I'm sending out all these tweets, and I'm going, but I think the defense might be playing better. Like, I can't decide which one. They're both playing so well. I couldn't decide. And I think, you know, Derek, whether it's Dean Pease's knowledge from being in the system and then coaching against the system with his time with Baltimore, he just clearly knows what he's doing when it comes to the Patriots. And He's one of the only guys that's been able to do it. And yeah, I agree. Give credit. The pass rush was all over him. I think there was one time where he was like 6-7 straight incompletions, and he's 4-15 passing during a stretch, and you're going, what the heck? That's not Tom Brady. Like, what's going on here? Now, it doesn't the offense moved the ball like we thought. They just finished the job in the red zone a little bit better than we anticipated. But, yeah, I'm sending out all these tweets. I'm like, oh, Marcus, unbelievable off-platform throw to Corey Davis. Great tracking speed, concentration. Oh, great job by the line getting pushed for Deion Lewis. And I'm like sending all these tweets, and I'm going, I think the defense is better. Like, I think the defense played. That's the best football game. That's the best football game all around I've seen this organization play since when, fellas? Like, I honestly don't know. From maybe the Packers 2 years ago. It's the best.
You're talking about from start to finish.
And both sides of the ball. I mean, special teams was awesome yesterday.
Well, Jennings got it kick-started right out of the gate.
The whole thing. It was a complete performance. Yeah. Tip of the cap to Vrabel and Pease and LaFleur and Mariota and Casey and everybody. Just complete performance. And I can't remember a better performance against a better opponent in a more complete fashion than what we saw yesterday.
I've got the four keys that I gave on Friday's show. Marcus needs to match Brady. Did that happen? Yeah, it did, because Marcus had a quarterback rating of 125, Tom Brady of 71. Titans' red zone opportunities. You had to get touchdowns, not field goals. They had four touchdowns and six chances with two field goals. Who rises up besides Lewis and Corey Davis? Your boy, Jonnu Smith, broke out. Your boy, Derrick Henry, had a good day. And I said, could they get pressure on Brady without blitzing? They got three sacks, six hits, and they weren't sending the house all day. Like you said, they were caving the pocket from up front. They checked all the boxes for me yesterday. That was a complete beatdown.
Yeah, they did exactly what they needed to do. It was good to see Jonnu Smith be a part of the offense. Like I said, he had to be a part of the offense. You had to figure out how to make this guy a part of the offense, because you're handicapping yourself if you don't allow him show some faith in him to get this offense to going, help get this offense to going. And then Derrick Henry, you just got to just give him the ball. Let him be the big back that he is. He understands, you know, what's being said about him. He'll get the ball and he'll run. Just allow him to get the feel of a game and allow him to play. And that's exactly what he did. He didn't get a lot of carries, but the carries that he did get, they were effective carries. And then I was proud of the way that this offense decided yesterday that they were going to not be this offense that stood around and watched New England score a lot of points. They were offense that went out there and put the pressure on New England's defense. They took advantage of, you know, New England's inability to, like I said, to stop the much quicker and faster and younger team. Corey Davis, one-on-ones, he beat it every day, all day, yesterday.
Stephon Gilmore did not have a good day.
I'm not saying, because New England, we know how it is. They end up losing a game and come back and win eight straight. But that just looked like a team. The Titans looked like a team prepared to win a game. And New England looked like a team that was tired and hoping, because they were the New England Patriots, that the Tennessee Titans was going to be intimidated and they were going to win the game 21-20.
And Jonnu, I think we've all seen, we all knew that Jonnu has the athletic ability to be a player in this league. And his ability to make a guy miss is pretty easy. Like, he just does it with relative ease. It's just about completing the play, being in the right place at the right time, making the catch, finishing the catch. But when he catches a pass and he's got the ball, he's probably going to make at least a guy miss, if not two. Mm-hmm. He's got that type of ability, and you saw that yesterday. I think he had a career high in receiving yards yesterday, which broke his record from last week.
Back-to-back weeks.
Are we starting to see that hey, maybe it just took some time for him? He's just a young player, especially coming from a middle a group of five school where you don't have a high level of competition. It just probably has taken him some time. Now he needs to, like this entire offense, needs to continue to show us that this three-game stretch here, where Marcus has been brilliant, the offense has been brilliant, the running game has gotten better, everything, all the pieces are starting to work. And, oh, by the way, no Jack Conklin, no Taywan Taylor yesterday, no Jostin Fowler. All of this is starting to work. Let's show us that it's real, and that means you got to continue to go out and continue to execute each and every week. Because if they are, let's say hypothetically, if we want to put the cart in front of the horse here, let's say hypothetically the last 3 weeks is what this offense is actually going to be, and they continue to progress, then they're finding their stride at just the right time. Mm-hmm. And that's a fun and exciting thing to think about. But it also means they have to go out and win a bunch of games between now and then.
And, Derek, you've talked about this offense routinely with receivers. They don't mm-hmm. have man beaters, and you got to use stacks and mm-hmm. bunches to get guys open. How great was it yesterday to see your fifth overall pick in Corey Davis mm-hmm. put up the day he did, just beating a guy like Stephon Gilmore, who is a Pro Bowl corner?
Yeah, but, I mean, they still did things to – because I've always said in this offense, LaFleur is going to scheme you open. He knows exactly – how to put a guy in a position to get open. Because in today's offense, you know, NFL offense, what you do is if your guy's not a burner and a big guy, then you put him in a lot of stacks, you put him in a lot of short motions, you try to outflank the defense by alignment and assignment. And that's what they did consistently yesterday. They outflanked New England's coverage. They forced New England to play off coverage, just like they did with the Philadelphia Eagles. They forced the Philadelphia Eagles to play off coverage, and I'm going to beat you by alignment and assignment. I'm going to force you to play off. I'm going to force you to read what's going on, and if you don't read it fast enough, I'm going to get the ball out, and I'm going to hit my receivers each and every time. Marcus was great on play action. That's what he does best. Yeah. Keep doing it. Keep putting those guys in bunch formation, tight splits, mm-hmm. and allow them to outflank and flood the whatever zone that New England was in. The Titans were able to flood it, and they were able to out-position by the lineman and assignment their defensive backs.
All right, Titans with a big win. You guys know how it works. We take your reaction, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Are you a believer in the Tennessee Titans? And what was your biggest takeaway from yesterday's beatdown at Nissan Stadium? Your calls on the other side. It is Morning Drive. We're broadcasting live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Link Mount Juliet on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
One of the biggest takeaways from that game, of course, the complete performance. Domination on offense, domination on defense, even domination in the secondary. Pineapple guy dominated. You know who else dominates in a complete way? Offense, defense, special teams. Xfinity. They dominate your entire home, your entire entertainment packages, complete control and complete domination from Xfinity. They have you covered with your Wi-Fi, which you got to have if you want to be streaming all your content on all your tablets or your devices or your laptops. If you got a bunch of games going on a Sunday or a Saturday, you're going to need that great Wi-Fi speed. They've got great Wi-Fi packages. Of course, the television. You know that's their bread and butter. That's like pounding the football. They know how to do that. They've been doing that for years, so Xfinity's got you covered there. They've now added Xfinity Mobile, which is like a nice run-pass option. They've got great RPOs, which, of course, is now mobile coverage. That's right, your cell phone. So make sure you check out that when you talk about bundling all this together. And, of course, great defense. Home security, they've got you covered when it comes to your home security. They got the Xfinity Home app on your phone so that if you leave your house and you forget to set the alarm, boom, you pop up the app, you type in your code, and boom, your house is safe, just like that, just like a good Dean Pease defense. Get started and call 1-800-XFINITY. Visit Xfinity.com or drop into an Xfinity store today for more details. It's the complete package.
Gostkowski to kick it off. We're underway in Nashville. Jennings' return man has a touchdown this year on a kickoff return. Jennings finds an angle. Jennings' foot race to the perimeter. Tremendous return to open up, chased by Devin McCourty.
That was Ian Eagle with a call on CBS yesterday as the Tennessee Titans right out of the gate. Darius Jennings setting the tone as the Titans roll 34-10. And how about this, guys? I saw this stat come out yesterday during the pregame show. Tom Brady lifetime against number one scoring defenses in the NFL. 16-5, 40 touchdowns, 12 picks. That's why I don't value stats. Because yesterday, none of that was relevant. Tom Brady looked like a mere mortal.
Don't you talk about my yards per play like that.
That's a relevant stat.
He did.
Philly
but
Godfather.
Did y'all hear the guy, and I meant to text you guys. He said they were talking. It was on the defensive side of the ball. I think it might have been in the second quarter. And Titans had made a play. And I forgot who said it. But they called a Dory Jackson Jay Jackson or Jack Jackson. I'm like, who in the hell is that?
Oh, did you hear the other
one? I'm like, who? And then I think Ian had to correct him like 4 or 5, like 10 seconds later, he ended up saying Adoree Jackson. So, but the other guy that was, he
was
like,
that was Dan Fouts.
Yeah, Dan Fouts said Jay Jackson or Johnny Jackson. I'm like, who is that?
All right, so was it I think it was the long kick return where he fumbled. You know, because he fumbled on a punt return, uh-huh. and picked it up and actually gained some yards. And then he fumbled at the end of a kick return and recovered them both. But I think it was the kick return where, you know, hey, Fouts is like, yeah, really big play there by Adoree Jackson. That was adorable. And and Ian Eagle just goes, really? And I looked at even my wife was like staring at Instagram, like looks up at the TV and goes, did he just say that? And I go, yeah, that was bad.
That's even bad for me.
That was adorable. Yeah.
And I've laid some duds in my day.
It was. I just said, man, did he just flat out get? Was he thinking about a player he played with a long time ago?
two quick takeaways that I think really had a big impact on yesterday's game. One, Marcus's mustache. I mean, when you're trotting that
huge
out
impact.
Pregame,
huge impact.
I mean, that was I immediately tweeted Titans by 50. Mm-hmm. They won by 24, so it was
better
close.
Mustache, Marcus or Captain Kurt.
There's your secondary poll question of the day.
Yeah.
And the other big impact, too, is, look, clearly Belichick did not have his guys ready to play. Vrabel had his guys ready to go. And I blame that specifically on the fact that Belichick was doing the media rounds with guys like Jared Stillman and Floyd Reese.
Hang on. Slow down. Does that mean you are giving credit for the Titans' victory to Jared Stillman?
In a way, he distracted him. He might have thrown a question.
Good job, Jared. Good job.
Guys, I don't want to live in that world. I don't want to live in that world. My favorite thing of the entire game, though, not even close, biggest, it's not a takeaway necessarily, but just the pure, sheer joy and entertainment that I got. The flat-out troll job by Mike Vrabel and Matt LaFleur. When they do the double reverse throwback to Brady, who literally his legs stop working in the middle of the play, he falls on his face and he's a yard short, and then they get a false start penalty that backs him up and they have to go for it. And on the first series, it might have been the first play, they go, anything you can do, we can do better because we've got a more athletic quarterback, and they execute it to perfection. Marcus catches the pass and, you know, picks up however many yards. By the way, first time since 1995. In a game where both quarterbacks had a reception in the game. So it's been over 20 years since that happened. But is there anything else other than trolling? Is that's straight trolling, right? I mean, I think
is that basically the Philly special? Is that pretty much the same play?
It's close. There's a lot of different ways to do the throwback to the quarterback, obviously. I'm sure there's different schematics and formations and motions and everything. But there was nothing else. That was only a troll job. There was nothing else that could have been. That was you just ran this. We're going to do it better. And there's nothing else. I can't imagine there was this is actually the time, the place in the game that it called for. No, you were just trolling Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
You were trolling your old boss. Dean Pease trolling his old boss. You got Lewis and, you know, Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler and all these guys. By the way, huge impact on the game, Malcolm Butler.
Isn't that great that we didn't have to hear his name?
Just straight trolling.
Well, I mean, it's good that you didn't hear his name.
Like, what's the best thing you can say about a referee? You didn't hear his name called once. You didn't have to talk about the officials. We don't have to talk about Malcolm Butler.
Yeah. And, well, he was coming off the bench. And then for two, you know, the Patriots couldn't really get into what they wanted to get into because Gronk and you know, they need to figure that one out. They need to go draft him a tight end because Gronk is just broken down now. He's a shell of himself. He even when he plays, he's just not the same guy. And they can't even rely on him to be out there each and every week. But yeah, this team came out and just flat out beat New England. There's nothing else. There's nothing much you can say about it. They didn't do anything special. They just was the much faster, younger team. And it showed. New England just looked like they were tired and ready for the bye week, and they were just an older team.
All right, it's your morning. You guys know the drill, 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in and react to the dominating win yesterday against the Patriots, and that's what Adam from Portland's doing first up here on Morning Drive. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, man. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to talk about with that troll job, man. That was the best thing I've seen this year so far. And And not only that, but, like, the Patriots had to throw the ball to their quarterback. Like, that's the coolest thing, man. Like, they got in a position where they had to run that play. And the Brave was like, oh, yeah, I got one of those, too. Let me show you how to do it. So that was the best moment, man. I woke up this morning with a big smile on my face because I knew how much we hit Brady yesterday. And the fact that you could beat a team 34-10 and nobody turned the ball over, like, that's straight domination, man. They don't want us. They don't ever want us again. And I don't want to say I told you so, but I will say that I said all they got for Brady and Belichick is you slow them a little bit. That's it. So I don't want to – D-Mace just said something about Gronk. I don't want to hear that anymore today. We lost Delaney Walker. He is equally as important to our team. So zero excuses. They
Very
suck.
True.
We win.
Very true, Go Adam. Tight. Very true. You lose.
What's that?
He said about Delaney, no excuses with Gronk being out. We lost Delaney Walker.
Delaney's been gone for like 6 weeks. You have a time. You have time to adjust. And then, you know, Jonnu Smith is a younger version of Delaney Walker. Well, on New England side, they don't have anybody. Even their backup tight end was hurt. But again, it's not. I'm not making an excuse for New England. Because what did I say? The Titans just flat out came and beat them. That's just the way it was. I mean,
it's
there
not like
was
this
nothing
was
special
September.
They designed yeah. other than the throwback, but they just came out and beat them.
It's not like this yeah. was September where the Patriots were 1-2 and they're always kind of trying to find
exactly.
themselves.
Yeah.
They came in here on a 6-game win streak.
Yeah.
So
this was just a we're going to out hustle you, out aggressive you, out scheme you on offense. We're going to outwork you and out physical you on defense. They got after Brady the whole time. It was just a complete football performance. There was just, I mean, special teams, right? I mean, even the punting game was good. The return game was good. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a missed field goal for the Patriots, which doesn't happen often. Titans converted on their opportunities. I mean, it just was a complete performance. Now, here, like you said, Derek, you play him again in the playoffs in Foxborough. I'm not expecting
yeah,
the same outcome.
So when you call, don't say the Titans don't want to see New England. I mean, I wouldn't yeah. go that far to say this, New England don't want to see the Titans because New England's a different team when they go home. You just hope that somehow, some way, if you do play them in the playoffs, it's here in Nissan Stadium rather than in Foxborough.
Which, by the way, what are they, 13 out of 16 at home? Yeah, something like that. They've been really,
crazy.
They've been really good at home.
How can a team be this good in their own building when their own building is not a raucous atmosphere and where a lot of the opposing fans come in and sometimes take over the building?
Is it weird to call it sort of just random? Like they just have been yeah. good. Is that a thing that it could just be just?
I mean, just playing at home makes it a lot different. I mean, you could play in front of 50,000 or 15,000. Just the familiarity with being at home and the comfort with being at home. It happens. It happens in all sports. You know, it's something about playing on your home field that some teams are just more comfortable with. Again, I don't think it has anything to do with the crowd because this crowd hadn't been huge week in and week out. But it's just them, you know, being comfortable and having their routine, and they would rather play at home than on the road.
More of your phone calls on the other side, 615-737-1025. And when we come back, are we finally seeing the Matt LaFleur offense at full throttle? Back after this on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Lewis in the backfield goes in motion. Mariota out of the pocket. Mariota throws on the move. Touchdown! The connection to Jonnu Smith. And the Titans are on the board early.
I told you, homeboy.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jonnu Smith, back-to-back games,
can't
folks.
Can't touch this. Hammer.
Do we have Delaney's successor in the house?
Well, you hope. The Titans hope so. If this young man keeps playing like this, then, you know, Delaney, as much as they love you, I don't know. He might be taking a lot of your snaps next year if he continues to play at this level. And he's gained some confidence. That's what I said last week. If he gains confidence, then look out, because I think his whole game is built on confidence. And if he catch a few passes, then he gets the rolling. And, I mean, the young man is playing well now.
I don't disagree with your analysis of Jonnu Smith, but I will not endorse the message that if Delaney Walker is healthy, that Jonnu Smith is usurping him in the starting lineup yet. They can both play two tight end sets. We can see a lot of two tight end sets, and he certainly is developing into a weapon. I'm with you. It's great to see the young kid playing good football. But if Delaney Walker's fully healthy, he needs to be the starter.
615-737-1025. Let's go to David in Hendersonville, who's up next on Morning Drive. What's going on, David?
Hey, guys. I just got a couple quick points, and I'll hang up and listen. First of all, I want to see if I'm very interested to see if we have another Phillies-Bills situation coming up. The Titans are good at that. I want to hear what y'all think about Adoree Jackson's coverage of the much larger receiver yesterday. And then did y'all notice yesterday at the end of the game when the Patriots were down so hard that all of a sudden they started disappearing off the field, all those starters?
Oh, yeah, they took Tom Brady out of the game. They knew it was over.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden everybody's getting hurt and all that. I don't know. It sounds like some crybabies to me.
Yeah, they went right into the bye week, basically.
I don't think it was crybabies. They were hurt at the beginning. They were hurt coming into the game.
Yeah.
And again, it looked – the perception was, if you're watching a game, if you didn't know which team was which and you were just watching a game, you would have thought that the New England Patriots, they were the older, slower team, and the Titans were the younger, faster team. Mm-hmm. I don't think guys started, getting hurt just to lead the field. They were hurt anyway, and they were trying – and it comes a point where – I'm not going to get Tom hit anymore, so I'm going to pull him.
Yeah, they shut it down.
And everybody else, we're going into a bad week. There's no way we're going to win this game. So start pulling the guys out that are injured and put some other guys in there.
Frankly, that's what I'd want my team
to do. Exactly. I wouldn't want Mariota out there.
Yeah, if the Titans are down 34-10 and all of a sudden, Marcus has got a little elbow injury and Conklin's got the little – this and somebody else has got a little of that, I'd be like, yeah, get him out of there. Get him out of there. So I don't think that's crybaby stuff at all. But I will say, he mentioned Adoree Jackson,
right?
I mean, Gordon beat him on a couple of plays. I think it was on Adoree. He had a couple of big plays. He had four catches for 81 yards. So, Edelman was abusing them over the middle of the field for most of the day, wide open. But what I liked about it, and the announcers caught on to this, that they made him pay for those catches. Mm-hmm. I mean, every time he caught the ball, he's ripping off chunk yards, but man, they were knocking him around and they were making him pay for it. And frankly, again, the biggest takeaway for me on defense, they stopped the run better than they have all season, but they were in Tom Brady's grill the entire time. They were in his kitchen the whole day. And I think that's really the story to me, is that Tom Brady was off balance, off timing, and that's just something you don't ever see from a guy like that.
You love to hear Bill Belichick, because if you enjoy humor, he gives you nothing, he says nothing, but he says it in such a weird tone where you don't even know that he has a pulse. Let's take a listen to Mr. Bill Belichick yesterday after the loss.
Yeah, all right, not really too much to say here this afternoon. Titans did a better job than we did in every part of the game, every phase of the game. So not a good day for us, and we've got a lot of work to do here, a lot of football left to go. Obviously, didn't do much or anything well today. So,
all right. So the Patriots go into the bye. The Titans go to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. But here's the question: Are we because we've now seen three straight offensive performances? One that didn't result in enough points, and then two in the last 6 days that has put up 62 points: 28 against Dallas, 34 against the Patriots. Are we now seeing the Matt LaFleur offense that we were expecting or hoping for from the day he got hired?
Well, you hope so. You just hope it continues. They played well the last three games. Marcus has been efficient the last three games, hadn't turned the ball over, with the exception of the Dallas game, where that first quarter seemed like a turnover fest. But that, it was Deion Lewis turned the ball over once. And I know Marcus, he was a part of it. Then the fumble, I think that end up getting called back, but they've been taking care of the football. So you hope that now this offense is starting to hit stride, and that they continue to play consistent football. Because for the last 3 weeks, they've consistently did some things from an offensive standpoint that you didn't see prior to, the Charger, Dallas, and now New England game. You saw it in spurts, but you never saw them consistently put together game after game after game. Well, they've done it. One loss and two wins, but albeit they, from an offensive standpoint, they played pretty good enough to win football games, but it just didn't happen in one of three.
Yeah, I think for me, it's the. I agree with all of that. I think it's the sort of the entirety of the playbook being on display is what it felt like from Matt LaFleur all three games now, the last three. Obviously, the Chargers game didn't end the way the Titans fans wanted it to, but it feels like he's showing us the entire repertoire. He's giving us the entire playbook. After they ran the quarterback pass, throwback to the quarterback, they then ran an option where they're running an option and he pitches it to Derrick Henry. And, I mean, it's just the whole thing was open. And we talked about this against the Cowboys. The whole playbook was there. They're running shovel passes. They're running jet sweeps to Corey Davis. They're throwing every play, every throw in the book, but they're also running all the innovative modernization, fun, creative stuff. And it's now three consecutive weeks. Marcus Mariota in 3 weeks, 71.8% completion percentage over his last three games, 705 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, 1 pick, 91 yards rushing, and another touchdown. So aside from maybe those two drives, aside from the one bad interception against the Chargers and then the two first possessions against the Cowboys, this offense has been basically – the vision that we all imagined. Mm-hmm. This offense, this is why you make the move to go from the previous regime to this one, is that this is the vision of what the offense should look like. And it's all of the different, like yesterday they're running a zone read RPO play action back to the other side of the field where Marcus boots out the other direction. I mean, you're seeing all different types of stuff from the offense. And I think that's, you're maximizing Deion Lewis. Yesterday, they maximized Jonnu Smith. Corey Davis, I think, is turning into a legitimate number one alpha male type of receiver. The other guys didn't get as involved yesterday in the passing game. Tajae Sharpe wasn't as big a factor. Mm-hmm. Taywan Taylor not available yesterday. But you're starting to see Cameron Batson catch passes.
Yeah.
I mean, Jennings caught one, I think, but Batson caught a couple of key passes. And so you're starting to see just the innovation and the modernization and all the terms that the buzzwords that we use to describe hiring a guy like Matt LaFleur. We're starting to see all of that come to life. And to Derek's point, you just got to keep doing it. It's been great for three games,
mm-hmm.
but you're still a game behind in the division, and you got 7 games left to go, and you got a lot of big, tough physical games left on the schedule. You got to keep winning.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus looks healthy. And Derek, you mentioned this. I can't even keep track of how many times you said it throughout the summer and in the first month of the season. It might take 6, 8, 10 weeks of the regular season for this offense to hit its stride, and here they are now, 5-4, and right around where you expected it to be, maybe a few weeks later, maybe the offense now kind of coming into its groove. And to your point, you know, you've said, look, it's going to take time. New personnel, new coordinator, new scheme. It's just not going to happen like that.
No, it's not. And I think a lot of people expected it to happen, you know, with the snap of a finger. It was going to take time. They don't have the time they used to have, you know, under the previous CBA where, you know, coaches got players for hours on end and they could work on plays over and over again. Well, now you can't do that. So when you hire a new head coach and a new offensive coordinator, and then your quarterback's injured somewhat sometimes, and then you have another player injured and he's not practicing, you know, that just prolongs the offense from moving, from being at a point where it can consistently, you know, score points and move the ball down the field and rack up numbers. Now they are getting there, and they must, because one of the callers said it. Well, we've seen this book before with them where they, you know, run off three games or two or three games, and then they hit a game where we think they should win, and then they end up, you know, land a dud. Well, if they want to continue to, you know, keep themselves in the hunt, right now I think they're sitting at the 7th spot right above Miami, right below Baltimore in the playoff race. So they must continue to win in order to keep pace with Baltimore, in order to keep pace with the Houston Texans. So this all, which means the offense got to continue to play well, got to continue to take strides on getting better as a unit.
Certainly an impressive win for the Tennessee Titans. We'll take your reaction all morning long. 615-737-1025. That was a beatdown on Sunday. But up next, we get to the beatdown on Saturday at Neyland Stadium. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And listening Saturday as the Blue Raiders of MTSU face Kentucky in Lexington. Pregame begins at 10 a.m. with kickoff at 11, only on ESPN 102.5 the game. So let's get to the Saturday college football that was Neyland Stadium. And gentlemen, the Kentucky Wildcats were supposed to come into Neyland Stadium and play a football game. But I would say that the constable, Chase McCabe,
scared him off.
He had more pep in his step. He had more vitriol and rage, and he was ready to go more than Mark Stoops' team was.
Chase's game plan was better. He was far more prepared.
I was very prepared.
Very prepared. Listen, we talked about this before the Georgia game for Kentucky. If they lost to Georgia, how much of the air would go out of the balloon? And they didn't get off the bus on Saturday. So let's be very clear. But this also is very important because I got a bone to pick with like Vol Twitter guy. Who seems to be so sensitive about everything right now. I realize you've had 10 years of bad experiences in football right now, but just relax. Listen, two things can exist in your mind at the same time. It's okay, guys. It's called nuance, subtlety. It's 2018. We can bring it back. Tennessee earned every ounce of that win. They dominated just like the Titans did. They looked like a totally different defensive front. They've played really good football on that side of the football for two games in a row. Jerick Garantano was protected for the most part during the game. The offense looked great. They were able to create plays. Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt deserve credit for that win. They earned every ounce of that win. Great, great win. Two top 15 wins now for Jeremy Pruitt in 10 games. Great job, Tennessee. You can also then at the same time say Kentucky clearly was uninterested in getting off the bus to play that game. And it's not a knock on Tennessee. It's a knock on Mark Stoops and Kentucky, and Mark Stoops took the blame for it after the game. But both of those things can exist. Tennessee can get credit for the great win, and also we need to address the fact that Kentucky clearly didn't care, it seemed like to me. Charlotte looked like a better defense than Kentucky did. And so give a ton of credit to Tennessee. That is a monumental win. And I said all season long, Jeremy Pruitt will be judged on what he does in the last month of the season. And so far, so good for Tennessee. They've got a chance now to get to a bowl game and a chance to potentially to get to 7 wins in the regular season.
7 wins.
It's going to be hard.
Sorry, guys.
It's going to be hard to beat Missouri. Oh, no, you will get your time to brag. If they go 7-5 and they beat Missouri and Vanderbilt, you will get your time to brag. No question about that. Missouri is going to be a really tough game. Missouri is a better team than their record indicates, but if they can beat Vanderbilt, let's just say they lose to Missouri and they beat Vanderbilt, this team will be judged on how they did in the final month of the season, and that performance against Kentucky deserves all the credit in the world. And Tennessee now has a chance to get to a bowl game, which we all agreed at the beginning of the year would have been a great accomplishment for Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah, this team, I forgot who we had on. It might have been Josh, and I asked him the question that would it be far-fetched to think that this Tennessee Vols team will be a much better team the last half of the season than the first half of the season? They might not win every game, but the way that they play, you will see a noticeable difference in what Jeremy Pruitt is doing. And I think it's starting to come to fruition. I think this team, you know, they're not going to win every game. This is why I didn't mind the whole – you know, Pruitt thing with the halftime and what he said to players, because he understands how he needs to get his team going, and he was dead on. You know, listen, guys, if you don't come out and play with some effort, yeah, they have better players than us. Yes, I understand that, but you know, effort is a want. You know, going out there and running an extra, you know, two steps, that's an effort. I can't teach that. That's something you want to do and have. You know, you, as a player, you need to do for the guy next to you. So if you can't go out there and give effort,
it's the one thing then, you're in full control of.
Exactly. If you can't go out there and give effort, then I need to bring in 22 guys that are going to do it, and I can, and I will. Mm-hmm. And it lit something in these guys' rear end, and they came out, and, you know, the Charlotte game was one of those games where I think, you know, you're playing an opponent and you know that you're better than them and you don't come out and for some reason everything just doesn't click the way you want it to. But when they had to show up big, they showed up big. And this is a team you can see that is starting to buy into whatever's being preached in that locker room. They're starting to buy in. And, yes, it's going to be inconsistent. That's because it's a young team. you know, players that he didn't recruit. And, you know, sometimes they hear the message and sometimes they don't hear the message. But I think as a whole, this team is buying into what he's saying. And, you know, they might not win the Missouri game or the Vandy game.
Well, they'll be,
but I guarantee you they're going to play hard.
They're going to be a small underdog. They're about a 5-point home dog.
I wouldn't be surprised if they are a favorite against Vandy.
Yeah.
By the way, Vandy, yeah. Judging by the way Vandy can't put, you know, can't end a game, I wouldn't be surprised if UT ends up being a favorite in that game.
Well, and Vandy's like Vandy's a good football team. They just can't finish. It's they're in every game against really high level competition. I think the interesting thing about Tennessee is we knew, like it's how do you judge level of competition too? Because you can't really look at a team and say, oh, well, how'd you do against Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and West Virginia? Like, it's hard to evaluate what a team really is when they go against that level of competition. Well, certainly, I think level of competition changes things. You're South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, Vanderbilt. That's a very different stretch of your schedule. And it's been like that for years now for Tennessee. You're going to play that stretch of your schedule, and your season will be defined by that stretch of your schedule. And if you could pull an upset early in the year like they did against Auburn, then awesome. It's gravy. It's money in the bank. But it's going to be defined by what they do against competition where the player gap and talent isn't that great. Kentucky's a really good team, but Tennessee's players from a recruiting standpoint were rated higher than Kentucky's players were. Same with Missouri, same with Vanderbilt. What do you do with these guys? And he got them off the bus, motivated, ready to go, and fired up. Almost 7 yards of play against Kentucky's defense, which is one of the best defenses in the SEC. That is quite an accomplishment. 215 yards rushing. That's a big sign of progress. They looked like a real grown adult football team on Saturday, and we have not seen that in quite some time. It's the same thing with the Titans. What are you going to do next? Do you go pull the upset and beat Drew Lock and beat Missouri, and all of a sudden people feel unbelievably good about this team? Or do you go fall flat on your face and lose to Missouri and choke it away to Vanderbilt? What else? You still got to finish. This was a great first step, but if you can get one more and you can get to the bowl game and you go 6-6, then the evaluation of Jeremy Pruitt's first season is a very positive one.
Kentucky was certainly flat. They did not come ready to play, but the Constable Chase McCabe made the trip to Knoxville with a couple of his buddies. Do we want to mention names?
Sure.
Ricky and Amber.
Okay. Ricky and Amber.
So the constable, he
I believe Amber, the photographer.
Yes.
Yes.
The staff photographer.
What you're about to hear is courtesy of the Amber Harding on Twitter.
And this just dominated social media on Saturday. Chase McCabe, if he doesn't have a future in radio, he could certainly conduct a band.
Here I may not after this.
The constable leading in Rocky Top.
Oh, Rocky Top, yo!
I didn't know. Now, there's video to that. That's the audio.
It just seems like Chase was conducting the whole thing, like the whole crowd.
I didn't know he had moves like that. His arms were going, his hips. He had everything
going.
That's
because he had a little juice in him.
He did.
A little.
Something.
It wasn't a little. The problem with Amber is at the very beginning, you can really hear Chase, and then like it feels like the camera work like backs out or something. Like if you play it again, you could really hear Chase in the beginning, and then you get kind of drowned out by the band and the rest of the people.
There are several. Oh my God, several videos. There's one that Ricky put on his Instagram that I actually we were sitting behind the band, so I went and walked down to the band.
Oh wow!
Almost got hit by a tuba, but I was with the band trying to lead people, and you just hear Ricky go, three sheets.
Was there another incident where people might have fallen down?
Cannot confirm nor deny.
Was everyone okay?
Yes, everyone was good. And no, it wasn't me.
We'll continue taking your reaction. If you
also,
want to get
shout out to Larry. Larry was the usher sitting was Larry at our section. Larry was awesome.
Hey, Larry's a good guy.
Yeah, hey, good job, Larry.
Love Larry. All right.
Larry, what up?
Honorary fifth member.
Lucky
of the
Larry.
Show.
Yes.
So he's the deputy.
I hope you're listening.
How big was that? It wasn't a sellout, but what would you say? Maybe like 85,000-90,000 people.
Yeah, I mean, and the crowd was into it. I mean, look, they had
I
to
saw
be.
It, yeah,
they had
yeah.
to be. But it was a fun crowd throughout the whole game, and then you had everybody just feeling the win. But I was talking to several fans before the game, and what was funny is the Kentucky fans were going, what world do we live in where you guys, because he thought I was a Vols fan, you guys are worried about losing us in football and we're worried about losing to you in basketball.
It's bizarre.
Well, it just might happen in both. Well, it happened in one. It might happen in the other. They might end up losing both games to UT.
Can Admiral Schofield come off the edge? Like, is he a good pass? Could Grant Williams be a pass rusher?
Hey, Chase, how long did it take the three-man tailgate to turn into more? Because it was a two-man and a
you
girl
were concerned,
tailgate.
You were concerned about that.
Yeah, I was concerned a little bit because y'all sat in the corner for a while.
No, it wasn't that long.
It just seemed like it. Like it was a two-man and a woman tailgate.
We crossed Cumberland, not the Cumberland, but crossed Cumberland and found some folks that we knew. West Bowling.
The strip. It's called the strip.
The strip. West Bowling was there, so we hung out with him for a little bit. And so it grew.
You weren't just sitting in the corner of a parking lot?
No. We were, but then
Now, did you take your badge and whistle, or were you out of your jurisdiction?
No, I was out of my jurisdiction.
Okay. Yeah, out of uniform.
Okay. Out of uniform.
Off duty.
You can't take your badge across?
Well, I probably could, but it was probably best that I didn't.
No, Derek, you got to be off duty. You know, off duty officers are allowed to cut loose a little bit.
When we come back, we're going to get back to the Tennessee Titans. Here's a question I want to throw out to you guys. Is 10 wins, because we said at the beginning of the year that, you know, you probably had to get to 10 wins to win this division. Is 10 wins now attainable? The Titans are 5-4. They would need to go 5-2 over the next 7. We're back after this on Morning Drive.